You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Getting set for the Cincinnati Bengals and the debut of Johnny Manziel coming up on Sunday. Yeah, you could feel the anticipation inside the building. Great to have you along, everybody. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regei. Nathan Zagura will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour as we get you rolling on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. All right, Matty, before we get to Browns Nation, as I like to call our tremendous Browns fans that are worldwide, as we know, locked into Cleveland Browns Daily. Here's the thing out of me, and the reason I reference it, I really want your thoughts on this from the defensive perspective. The reason that I feel that the script may be flipped with regard to how much percentage-wise that Johnny can take snaps under center is because, Matt, for me, of the pass game. Now, you're asking, you know, you take a snap from center, you're getting, you know, whether it's off play action or not, as we know, you're getting that quarterback back turn.
Yes.
To go through play action or just get into a 5 or 7 step drop. Now, to me, with a young quarterback that has no experience in reading defenses in the National Football League, I'm not sure I want him, again, executing play action or turning his back to the defense and then hitting that back foot on the 5 step or the 7 step and now starting to go through reads.
Yeah, it's tough.
Matt, I'll be honest. You and I are always honest about things. That's why I love when we get together. That's my biggest concern, that under those circumstances, his ability to read and go through progressions are going to be minimal.
Right, and that being said, there are things that you can do to help that. And in some cases, as I think I might have talked about it yesterday, that Brian Hoyer, some people were calling out that he was only going to his first read, and so on and so forth. But I really think that, you know, Johnny Manziel is and Kyle Shanahan working together and them talking through this football game instead of Kyle Shanahan creating a game plan and being rigid in his thinking and his approach to this football game and working and understanding that those his skill sets and also to his experience. And you're not going to set up a game plan or create a game plan for your team or one player for them to fail or struggle. So that being said, what they can do is give Johnny half field reads, and bringing guys from the backside, you know, running those low crossers that we've seen Hawk and Gabriel and even Gordon do,
sure,
and bring them into Johnny Manziel's sight. So he may look, you know, outside after his back is turned to one read, yep, and then he gets his secondary read kind of like flashing into his eyesight, which is an easy underneath throw and a confident throw that Johnny can make. And Reg, the reason why I said it's going to be hard is because you can't go from the offensive line, the wide receivers, everybody, and the running backs are so in tune to a quarterback who's under center and their execution and timing to make – and again, this league offensively is all about making everything look the same. And we talked about when Brian Hoyer was playing his best football, those runs and those fakes on play action, they looked the same. Yeah. You want those defenses to be strung along – and then you pull the string, in this case, pull the ball, and you roll the other way. Mm-hmm. You get guys into big windows. And that's where I think, you know, Johnny Manziel with a strong arm can win. And if not, you get him to the edge, and he has that run-pass option, which we know a lot of people can be scared of.
Again, you want him to be able to rip it, and I mean in the throwing game, and, you know, throw the football without any fear and without any trepidation, because that's a big part of his style of play. So you want that, obviously, to be able to, and I get it. I get it when you say, you know, it's got to be small doses because you can't just resurrect your offense in week 15.
No.
You just can't do that.
But that being said, in those 10 or 12 plays that they do it,
yeah,
if they are successful this week, we're going to see 20 of them next week in Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're going to have maybe a 50-50 ratio to close the season out at Baltimore, because if they grasp them, and not just Johnny's got it because he's athletic, he's dynamic, and he's a football guy. But if the offense grasps it and we're able to get chunk plays and they're able to be successful, we will definitely see more of it moving forward.
Oh, yeah. And that's the way the NFL is, right? You run something successfully until those prove they can stop it.
Absolutely.
Bottom line on that, 216-578-0850. Time to hear from you, Browns Nation, again now. Our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day, the debut of Johnny Manziel, is it one of the largest moments for you since the Browns have been back in 1999? And give us your stock-up player and your step-up player, a guy that is on the rise with this Browns squad. I think there are many candidates there on the defensive side of the football. And who's got to step it on up against the Bengals on Sunday? Let's get at it. Here's our first man out of the huddle, like Johnny Manziel will be on Sunday. Our man Nate in the car. Welcome to Browns Daily, Nate. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. Good to hear from you. Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, man.
Pleasure's all mine, Nate.
Yeah. Let's jump right into it. Now, we're doing the whole Johnny Manziel, Brian Hoyer thing, right?
Yep.
So, okay, now you look at Hoyer, and he had a sample size last season. He played well in the three games, and we rolled with him to start the season. Now, he did great up until he started to maybe hear the voices of Johnny Manziel or whatever the case may be. Now, you got to give Pettine a lot of credit because everybody wanted to pull the trigger on Hoyer as soon as he had the bad game in Atlanta. Everybody said, pull the trigger on him. He stuck with him. He came out. He had a bad showing in Indianapolis. Then he pulled the trigger on him finally. But you have to give him credit because in Cleveland – since 1999, we know we got the jersey of the quarterback the last name and everything like that. Now, it would have been a travesty if he pulls Hoyer and Manziel comes out and falls flat on his face. In Indianapolis, I'm saying, if he would have came on a start, and we would have been coming in this week with scratching our head, like, what are we going to do?
Well, Nate, the good thing about it is that Mike Pettine addressed that, though, and I like the fact, and I've been a supporter in the last couple of weeks. I felt Mike Pettine has handled it and gone about his quarterback situation in the right way for the football team and with regard to having the bottom line being winning. And I got nothing but backing and support for Pettine on this, Matt.
I agree completely, and I think Mike Pettine has never wavered as a communicator all season long. And I do think, as we talked yesterday after he got done with his presser, he's after that defeat, which I think everybody's kind of chewed up and swallowed at this point because you can't change it. He in his mind has come to grips with the situation and have making the change is, I think he's confident with that. And again, he's excited to see what this kid can do, as mm-hmm. everybody is, because he understands that he was drafted in the year that he started as a rookie head coach, and they have a future together here in Cleveland. And so, of course, he wants him to be successful, because his job in some cases rides on the success of the quarterback decision and this decision. But I do think it was like a monkey off Coach Pettine's back to get this done, to get it over with, and also, too, is – There's a plan or a sequence of events that this regime, Mike Pettine and his coaches, have in mind for how they're going to approach certain things or from an operations standpoint on a week-to-week basis, and they've stuck through that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, watch the film, evaluate, get more mind than just one in a room, and let's collectively make a decision for the betterment of this football team. It's not about what's sexy, what's going to keep somebody happy, what's going to motivate the team, who's going to give a burst of energy. It's a bottom line business of winning football games, and they're going to have the 45 on Sundays mm-hmm. active to help them win a football game. And that's all that matters.
Pass, fail.
Pass, fail.
Mike Pettine's favorite phraseology.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, pass, fail. No doubt about it. Here's Larry in Cleveland. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Larry, how you feeling?
Okay, how you doing, Michael?
I'm great, sir. Good to hear from you.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and the gang.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Very nice of you. Best of the holidays to you as well.
Thank you. I want to ask you, would you sign Ray Rice for the Browns?
I would not. I think at this point right now, again, we are winning in the present. Of course, we've dropped a couple of most recently, but we're winning in the present, and we've got to love the optimism of the future with Crowell and Terrence West, and Glenn Winston. And I don't believe that Ray Rice brings anything to this football team, but a publicity stunt and more boo-rah-rah stuff that, you know, we don't need any more because we got Johnny now at the helm.
It's a good
and
way
I think
to put
Ray
it.
Rice,
ooh, rah, rah.
We don't want to be that team that signs Ray Rice. It doesn't do any good for us.
You know, I think if the Browns were looking at it just from that type of angle with someone that has, however you want to say it, had success, has a resume of success in the National Football League. They had him here. They had Ben Tate here, and they decided to go in the proverbial different direction. Whether it was Ben, chirping and or just not buying in and not being the kind of Cleveland Brown they wanted, he's gone. So if they were looking at that, I think that would have been Ben Tate, and Ben Tate would have maintained his position all year long as a lead back of this football team.
They would. And right now, I don't think it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't do any good for the Cleveland Browns, I don't believe, right now. Because, again, Ray Rice was on the decline in Baltimore when everything transpired.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, obvious. Whether it, we've seen Bernard Pierce, and now you got Justin Forsett in there. And we saw Taliaferro have a big day against the Browns in week 3 of the season. So, seen it all. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. They like their football in Louisville. Don't let them tell you it's just a basketball city. Here's Damian. Welcome to the show, Damian. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Great. Good to hear from you. How are things in Louisville?
It's not bad. It's a little chilly down here, but it's not as cold as it is up there. I know that.
Nah, it's in the 20s today, Damian.
Hey, I want to, first of all, thank you guys for the great job you guys doing your show, because since I no longer live in Cleveland, it gives me access to, one of my favorite teams up there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much what I wanted to do is I wanted to say that I hope Johnny Manziel, plays superb this weekend, because there have been so many Cleveland fans just hating on this guy, and they haven't seen him do really much of anything on the field, let alone what he's not able to do. So I'm hoping he gets out there, especially against the Bengals, with our coach, the Bengals coach making
Marvin Lewis.
Comment.
Making his comment about little people. Yeah,
I hope he lights them up for about 48 points.
That'd be nice.
Johnny's been known to have a chip and have an edge. And we appreciate it, Davey. And certainly there. Although Johnny laughed it off yesterday, I think we're going to hear that a little bit later on. So I don't want to give it away, but very much downplayed it and even made light of it by saying, I don't think I'm going to grow significantly between today and game time on Sunday. So, he brought a little self-deprecation and he brought a little lighthearted humor to it. I kind of enjoyed that.
Right, which is, at this point in the season, it's a veteran quarterback type savvy is what he came across to me. And it was great to see a confident Johnny Manziel truly embrace this role in more ways than one, in his approach to the media, but also too his approach into his preparation. As we've heard, he was here into the wee hours on Tuesday night to make sure that he was prepped and ready to perform as a starter, and also to the expectation of this football club in naming him the starter.
All right, so our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, still got a lot of time, and as I said, coming up at 2 o'clock, of course, we do our Blue Point Grill Hospitality Restaurants Browns Roundtable. Always a lot of fun. Nathan will be back for that, along with Doug Deacon. Nathan will get you some of your fantasy football questions answered for this week coming up. We've all got to do fact or fiction a little bit later on. We're going to hear from Johnny Manziel, so our plate is full here in the Dog Bowl today. A lot going on. When we get back, more coming up. Again, I want you guys, who said this debut of Johnny Manziel? Is it the we're talking about 16 years of football, Browns Nation, since they came back in 1999. Is this your largest moment that you attach to the Browns since they've returned? They've been to the playoffs once. They drafted a quarterback overall one once that initial year in Tim Couch. Had a 10-6 football team that was an absolute high-flying aerial circus, as we know, in 2007, that lit the numbers up on the board every Sunday. Went 10-6, didn't make the playoffs. So is this Manziel debut your largest moment? And who's your stock-up, step-up players on the Browns this week that have to do each? Whose stock's rising? A lot of, I would say, candidates from the defensive unit of this football team. And who's the Browns that got to step it on up to get back in the win column after 2 consecutive losses? We're having fun, all energized today, right here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regei. Nathan Zagura will join momentarily. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't go away.